Let's prepare our hearts this morning for what God has to say to us. I believe that, church. I really believe that God, by His Spirit, speaks to us. I'm not here to give a talk. I'm not here to entertain. I really believe the Lord gives us a message, a word, that every Sunday, if we come with an open heart, that God will impart something to us that we need, something to us that's life-giving. And that's my prayer this morning. Let's pray. Father, we do. We come to You with open hearts, Lord, not with judgment and criticism, but Lord, we come to You with an open heart ready to receive from the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would help me to speak what You'd have me to. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to understand, to comprehend the spiritual things of God that the carnal mind just can't grasp. Lord, help us to understand. And I pray, Father, that as we know the truth, that it'll set us free, that new victories come in our life. Lord, I pray that You have Your way in us this morning, that this word will accomplish all that You have sent it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, we talked about the importance of seeking the Lord, and we also talked about the rewards, although the blessings, so many promises that the Bible speaks of for those who seek the Lord. It's absolutely amazing when you start looking through the Scripture of how often the Scripture speaks of this principle of seeking the Lord. I have to tell you that I have struggled with these two messages because they just sound kind of churchy and religious about seeking the Lord. I mean, that just, you know, in our culture today, it just almost sounds kind of out of touch in a way and a little old-fashioned. And, you know, us preachers nowadays, we like to have our catchy titles and it's all cool. But, as I prayed and even began to think, well, maybe God, maybe You have something else. But it was like a realization just came to me and the Lord made it clear to me that there is not anything that I could share with you this morning that is more relevant than this. Because we are all seekers. Everybody is seeking something. And we need to seek the Lord. See, even the person who is so laid back and nonchalant about life, and the person who's, you know, nonconformist, noncommittal, and, you know, they just absolutely refuse to become part of the rat race, they're seeking something. They may be seeking peace and tranquility, but I'm telling you, they're seeking all of us. And most of us can identify that much easier, quicker in our lives, that we are seeking things that we have desires. There are things that we pursue after. There are goals in our life, things that we want to see happen. But we need to realize this morning that God needs to be first and foremost in our desires and our pursuits, that we truly seek Him first. You can see this searching in every walk of life in so many different ways, every imaginable pursuit. People looking for fulfillment in all kinds of ways. There is a desire, you see, in the heart of every person. There's a hunger, a thirst in the soul of every person that only God can truly satisfy. People try with all kinds of things, whether it's success or money or love or even family. I'm telling you, even that can't satisfy fully and completely apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Many try to satisfy that desire, that thirst with all kinds of thrills or alcohol or drugs or pleasure or even religion. But I'm telling you, most people are seeking something. Even in church, a lot of times it seems like there's become a pursuit, a seeking apart from the Lord Himself. People seeking a church that has the right music and the right programs and the right style for them. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I mean, we certainly should find a church where we feel like God wants us to be and become a part of a local body. And certainly it ought to be somewhere where we feel like that we can enter in and be a part. But I just want you to understand that when it's all said and done, it's not about religion. It's not even about a particular church, but it is about our relationship with the Lord. It is that we are truly seeking Him. Living in a time when feeling good has become more important than finding God, and yet He's the only one that can truly satisfy us. See, the irony is that if we'll truly seek the Lord, then He takes care of all the other needs in our life. We read that last week in Matthew 6:33. We seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. He adds all these other things to us. Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Now that's a verse of Scripture that has been used and abused and taken out of context. And I'm telling you, so often when people misapply the promises of God, they end up disillusioned. Because a lot of people take that very verse and they say, well, Then if I delight myself in the Lord, God will give me what I want. But you see, when we truly delight ourselves in the Lord, He changes our desires. We can't just see God as another way to get what we selfishly desire. And so many do. And I'm telling you, you'll still be dissatisfied. You'll still be disappointed. No, that promise is speaking of when we become a person who is after God. We're seeking the Lord and we delight ourselves in Him. And He gives us the desires of our heart. Then we are truly satisfied and fulfilled in our lives. See, so many people think that when they achieve this or they accomplish this or they get to a certain place in life. You know, I remember when I was a young teenager, I thought, once I have my driver's license, I'll be satisfied. You know, and for some it's, you know, once I find Mr. or Mrs. Wright, then I'll have fulfillment in my life. And then, well, okay, let's add a couple of kids. And maybe that'll bring us to that true place of fulfillment. Maybe a little, you know, the bigger house and better cars. And a little later in life, it's, you know, having nicer stuff and more free time. And then start looking for that retirement. We'll finally get to retirement. I'll be satisfied. I'm telling you, it is not in achievement or success. It's not in reaching a certain stage of life. You see, that's why so many people find themselves empty is because they keep thinking it's just over the hills. When I get to this, when I accomplish that. And I'm telling you, it was in the Lord the whole time. But how we can fall into that trap. I know many of you, some of our young people, you weren't even born back in the day. But some of you remember, at least you've heard the name of Tom Landry. Back in the day when Tom Landry was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He was a great Christian man and had a great impact and influence on many, many, many people. But when the Cowboys won the Super Bowl one year, this is what Tom Landry said. He made this observation. He said, "The overwhelming emotion in a few days among the players on the Dallas Cowboys football team was how empty that goal was, that there must be something more." I mean, here they had achieved their goal. This was, I mean, for a football player, this was the ultimate in success to win the Super Bowl. This was a great achievement. This was fame and fortune. You see, in so many ways, they had what people of this world are searching for and seeking for. And many of us are, maybe in some smaller scale or in our own way. And yet, Tom Landry said the overwhelming emotion was that it was empty, that there must be something more. And you see that repeated over and over in the lives of the rich and famous who seem to have it all, and yet they're never truly satisfied, never truly happy. It's never enough. And I just want to tell you this morning, it's the same for us. Unless we realize that it is truly God, He's the only one who can satisfy the longing, the thirst in our soul. Jesus invites us to come to Him and drink. He offers us living water that truly satisfies. And I want you to understand that that is in a relationship with Jesus Christ It is not just some experience that you have one time or that you had many years ago. No, it is about a daily relationship with Him. But Jesus says in John 7:37, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink." You see, when there's that hunger, that emptiness, that longing in the soul, desiring something more, you need to realize that Jesus is the answer, that He is the one that is able to truly satisfy. When we look to the things of the world, I tell you, they're a poor substitute, and it will always end up as a disappointment. Listen to this from 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. This is from the NIV. It says, "You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Now, he's talking about how we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus, but he says that we were redeemed from an empty way of life. And in particular, he is speaking to the Jews here when he says, you were redeemed from an empty way of life that was handed down to you by your forefathers. By the way, where it says empty there, the King James says vain. The New King James says aimless. But the most literal translation is dissatisfied. An empty, dissatisfied, aimless, vain way of life. Now think about who he was speaking to here, because he was speaking to a people who were very religious. You see, what I'm talking about this morning, I'm not just talking about being religious. I'm not just talking about going to church. He was talking to people who were all about family. I mean, they had a rich heritage. He said, that empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers. I'm telling you, there are a lot of them that probably took great offense to that because they were so into family. They kept up with their genealogy for years or generations and generations and generations. They were big on family. Many of them were well-to-do and had great possessions. But he says to them, you are redeemed from an empty way of life. You see, it's not in any of those things. It's only in the Lord Himself. We're living in a generation in America when, by history's standards, we have everything. And yet it still turns up empty without the Lord. I'm telling you, He's the answer. We need to seek Him. You know, one of the main things Peter was talking about was that religion. You think about the Apostle Paul, who was so religious. He was a zealot. He zealously persecuted the church of God. But when he met the Lord Jesus, he found something that truly satisfied. And even after decades of serving God, he says, I count everything else a loss for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He still had that hunger and desire for God. So whether you have ever really sought God and turned your life over to God, or maybe you're a Christian and been serving the Lord for many years, I challenge you this morning to keep seeking God, to keep going after Him. Don't become complacent. Don't become satisfied. You see, that's how so many people get lukewarm and get away from God, is they get to the place where they're no longer passionate about seeking the Lord. And they begin to allow other things to steal away their desire to seek the Lord. Sometimes people look to relationships to bring fulfillment in their life. They think the right guy or the right person comes along. I think this is one of the things, this is an unreasonable expectation that many couples have as they enter into marriage. I'm just going to tell you the truth, all right? Your spouse should meet your needs that a spouse should meet. But listen to me. Nobody can fill the place in your soul that only God can fill. And some people think that, oh, if I just find the right person, then I'll truly be happy, I'll truly be satisfied. Not unless you make God first in your life. And I'm telling you, we got to keep Him first. But you find this so clearly in the story of the woman at the well that Jesus talked to in John chapter 4. This Samaritan woman comes to draw water. She's physically thirsty, and she's going to draw water. And it's so interesting that Jesus uses this opportunity to talk to her about the thirst, the searching in her soul. And he begins to tell her, you've had five husbands, and the man that you're now living with is not your husband. You see, here's a woman who was looking for something that would fulfill her life, and she's looking in relationships, but never finding it. And I'm just telling you, you can look in a lot of different ways, and you can think it's just over the hilltop. When I get this, it's only in the Lord that we find that which truly satisfies. Jesus told that woman in John 4 and 10, he says, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. In verse 13, he says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. You see, it's something that as we seek God and we receive from him that living water, that it becomes a part of us and flows out of our life. Now, there is a danger in seeking other things. And that is this, that as we allow ourselves to pursue after and seek other things, many times it dulls our hunger for God. It can't ever satisfy. And you see that. But realize that even though it doesn't satisfy, when we allow ourselves to chase after other things, it dulls our hunger for God. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water. There's the first one. They've forsaken. They've stopped going to God as the one who can satisfy their soul. And they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, in our culture, we don't use cisterns here in America. And most of us, or many of us, may not even know what a cistern is. But a cistern was just a man-made container or place where they caught runoff water. And God is saying, I am the living water that can satisfy your soul. And yet you have, by your own efforts and pursuit of other things, tried to satisfy. And he says it's broken cisterns. In other words, it doesn't work. It won't even hold water. It can't truly satisfy. But he says, you've committed two sins, that you've forsaken me, and you've dug out cisterns. And he's talking about all the efforts of man to try to satisfy our soul on our own apart from him. So how do we seek him? You see, to seek him means to look for him. It means to pursue him. It is active that we go after him. And I want to challenge you this morning. You see, we all know what it is to go after something we want. I want to challenge you this morning to go after God, to truly seek him in your life. If you're going to seek him, you seek him first and foremost with a whole heart. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Listen, halfway won't get it. A divided heart won't get it. God won't share you with anything or anybody else. If you want to find God, you want to really experience him in your life, I'm telling you, it has to be wholehearted. See, there's a lot of people that want a little religion and they'd like to have a little God in their life from time to time. But listen, you can't really find God that way. He says, seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We have to do it passionately, not just casually. To seek implies a desire. It's what we really want. And I'm telling you, in this world, so many people, at some point, they want to find God on some level, but they just can't seem to. And here's the key. It has to be with a whole heart. If you take a box of sand and you sprinkle a handful of metal fragments in that box and then stir it around, Now try to find the metal fragments. Well, that's impossible. You might find a couple, but you're not going to be able to find all those metal fragments. How can you do that? It's really quite simple. You get a magnet. And you stir that magnet through that box of sand, and all those metal filings and fragments cling to that magnet. And I want you to understand that when you wholeheartedly seek God, your heart becomes like a God magnet. It's not hard to find God when you search for Him with the whole heart. He says it very clearly. He promises us, "You will find me when you search for me with all your heart." Our heart becomes like a God magnet where we find God every day. We begin to see God in fresh new ways, and He's all around us. But it has to begin when you seek Him with a whole heart. To seek the Lord, we have to humble ourselves. 2 Chronicles 7:14 gives us a progression here. He says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land." But he starts off with this: if they will humble themselves. And I want to tell you, it's really important that when we are going to seek the Lord, we humble ourselves, because you can't find God in pride. God resists the proud. You can't come to God on your terms. We come to God on His terms. And we humble ourselves before Him and admit our need of Him, that we are desperate for Him, that we have to have Him in our lives. Psalms 10 and 4 says, "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God." You see, the proud don't really think they need God. We come to God humbly, admitting our desperate need of Him, and we find Him. David said, "A broken and contrite spirit you will not turn away." So when we come to God humbly, He'll never turn you away. Third, we seek Him in prayer. Now that seems really obvious, but I just want to encourage everybody here that if you really are going to seek God, you got to seek Him in prayer. If you're not praying, you're not seeking God. Our day needs to begin with prayer. Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2 says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" In the NIV, that last phrase is, "When can I go and meet with God?" I think that certainly it might be referring to our time of worship, but I also think that it's referring to a personal time of devotion, personal time of prayer. When can I meet with God in prayer? See, prayer is not our time to go to God and give Him His instructions. "God, you need to do this. You need to take care of that. Lord, would you please do that?" Listen, prayer is the time that we meet with God. It is about a relationship. It is about an encounter with God. We need to realize that when we seek the Lord in prayer, we're going to find Him in a special way, that we humbly come before Him and brought our needs to Him. But more than that, we have come just to be in His presence. "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you. My soul thirsts for God." I want to just make this point, and I realize this is a little out there, may sound a little old-fashioned, but I'm just going to tell you that so much of our media, whether it's the TV, the cell phones, the internet, the video games, I just want you to understand that those things are empty. They can't satisfy that place in your soul. But what they do so often is they dull our hunger or thirst for God. When's the last time you sat down in the presence of God and, like David, you said, "My soul thirsts for you"? You see, we fill up our lives with all of this other stuff, and it dulls that hunger. But when you're talking about prayer time and devotional time, here's another issue, is how much time those things take from our life. You see, we all have time to pray. Talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't have that apart from prayer. It is a daily experience as we seek Him in prayer. Fourth, we seek Him in His Word. John 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Listen, "and the Word was God." The Word is a great revelation of God to man. It tells us who He is, what He is like. It tells us about His character and person. We're living in a day and a time when people seek a God of their own making. And I'm telling you, that kind of religion will always end up dissatisfying and empty. There are so many today, it's kind of the religion of the day. And I'm talking about even in Christian religion, it's the religion of the day. Everybody kind of makes up God the way they want to seem. You know, I hear people say things like, "Well, God is whoever I want Him to be." I'm telling you, God is who He is. He is the God of the Bible. He is the God who describes Himself and reveals Himself in Scripture. And if you know a different God than the God of the Bible, you don't know God at all. You see, if we're going to really seek God, we have to seek Him in His Word, because the Bible reveals to us who He is, what He's like. And He so often, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He will speak to us through His Word as we seek Him. But you seek Him in His Word to know the true and living God. Fifth, we seek Him in worship. So many have sought Him in a form of religion and worship. It seems today that it's more about the music and a good feeling than it is in really finding God. Church, I love the good music. I like the good feeling. But we got to remember that worship is really about God. Today in church, the attitude is that the music and the worship is for the people. But it's not. Listen, no matter how much this goes against the grain of culture, I'm telling you, the worship is for God. It's for God. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about what song we like or don't. Listen, we get our eyes on the things of the flesh. It's all about God. And we seek Him in worship, because as we seek Him in worship, I'm telling you, you experience God in ways that you never have. The Holy Spirit shows you things. God reveals Himself to you in a greater way as you worship Him. Listen to the cry of David's heart in Psalms 27 and 4. It says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple." See, David knew that as he sought the Lord, as he was seeking the Lord in the presence of God, that he would behold the beauty of the Lord. We need that kind of passion in our worship to truly seek Him, to seek His presence. I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm talking about seeking His presence, to seek to be with Him. That satisfies. Psalm 63, begin with verse 1. It says, "O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise You. Thus will I bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips." Listen, he's not talking about the physical body. He says, "My soul shall be satisfied with the richest food." You see, he knew that as he worshiped God, as he entered into the presence of God and worshiped God, that his soul would truly be satisfied. I'm telling you, we seek Him in our worship. Sixth, we seek Him diligently. Hebrews 11:6 says that he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I want you to understand that this is where so many of the promises of God about seeking the Lord are fulfilled. It is in being diligent. You see, you can seek the Lord for a day or two or a week. You're not going to see many of those great promises. You're not going to see that reward in your life when you seek Him for a day or two. No, you're going to see those things begin to manifest and all those blessings in your life when you seek Him diligently. Those promises, things like say that say, those that seek the Lord will lack no good thing. What a fantastic promise. But it's not for those that seek Him for a day. It's for those who go after God diligently. And you know, when you do something diligently, you don't halfway do it. Now, I've already talked about seeking God with a whole heart. But I want you to understand that when you say diligently, it implies effort. That you go after it. You're putting your effort into it. Diligently. Persistently. That's how you find the Lord. And last, we seek Him faithfully. Don't allow your heart to wander. Don't allow yourself to grow cold in your love for God. But you keep yourself stirred up passionately to follow after God. Now here's a passage of Scripture that I realize is going to mess up some people's theology and make you go home and read your Bible, and that's always a good thing. But Psalm 78, beginning with verse 34, says, whenever God slew them, what? Whenever God slew them, they would seek Him. They eagerly turned to Him again. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer, but then they would flatter Him with their mouths, lying to Him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to Him. They were not faithful to His covenant. And I have to tell you, as a pastor, I've seen this over and over and over, that when people are experiencing heartache and destruction and desperate times in their life, whether it is the loss of a marriage or the loss of a loved one, or maybe it is the loss of a job, but when terrible times come, so often people turn to the Lord. Listen, they should turn to the Lord. But the sad thing is that a few months down the road, when God is restored and God is healed and God is blessed, they don't come to church anymore. They go right back to that place where they were. They put God back on the shelf. Hey, God, I'll let you know next time I need you. And I'm just telling you that if you really want to find God in your life, you don't find Him with a wandering heart. But you find Him with a faithful heart, that you're faithful to God in the good times and the bad, that you seek Him always. Don't fall into that pattern. Mark 1:37, the disciples come to Jesus and they say this to Him. It's kind of a strange comment in the light of the message this morning, but they say, all men seek for Thee. Listen, they were all looking for Jesus, but they weren't really all seeking Jesus. Some of them were seeking a sign. Some of them were seeking a meal or a miracle. Some of them were just seeking to see. And I'm telling you, in religious circles today, it's still that way. You could say all people are seeking for Him, but are we really seeking Him with a whole heart? Is He what we really desire? God will not be our part-time God. He will not share you with anything else. You can't date Jesus. It has always been all or nothing with Him. But here's the amazing thing. If we truly seek the Lord with a whole heart, we'll find Him. He makes Himself available to us, that for those who will truly seek Him with a whole heart, He is very seeker friendly. I hesitate to use that phrase because it has come to mean something totally different in our generation and talking about seeker-friendly churches. And I want you to understand, I've said before in the message, we come to God on His terms, not ours. But what I mean by seeker-friendly is that if you're truly seeking God with a whole heart, He's going to be there. You're going to find Him. Let me close with this passage of Scripture from Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 28. The Apostle Paul is ministering to some people who do not know God. But he says, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life and breath and all things. I just want to sidetrack here for just a moment. It all came from Him. Life. Breath. Your next breath. It came from Him. And all things. It all comes from Him. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. What a fantastic truth Paul reveals to us and shows us, that if we just seek for Him, if we just look for Him, we'll find Him. And you don't have to go very far. You don't have to look a long time. Listen, He says, for it is in Him we live and move and have our being. I'm telling you, if you will seek God with a whole heart, you'll find Him all around you. You'll find Him right here, right now. You'll find Him in your devotional time. You'll find Him in your workplace. You'll even find God driving in traffic if you truly seek Him. I'm telling you, you'll find Him all around you if you seek for Him with a whole heart. I want you to stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. I want our prayer partners to come. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the word of the Lord to remind us today, Lord, what's really important, that we seek You with the whole heart. I pray, Father, for that one that has never really had a closeness, a real relationship with You. I pray, Father, that today they'll begin a brand new life with You, knowing a joy that truly satisfies. I pray, Father, for that Christian that has allowed their heart to be distracted by other things. I pray, Father, for that one who's sought after something else and tried to satisfy with that. Oh, Father, I pray that today, Lord, that there be true repentance in their heart and they turn back to You as the one who truly satisfies. I pray today, Lord, that all of us will be stirred up, that You give us a fresh hunger to seek You each and every day in our life. Lord, have Your will and Your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to come for prayer. And I just encourage you. This is such an important part of the service because, you know, many times we hear the word of the Lord and we go our way and we've soon forgotten. The impact of that word is soon snatched away. Some of us, I'm telling you, it's very important if God's dealing with your heart that you allow God to complete that work. I'm not saying that the work is finished this morning, but I'm saying what the Lord has begun in you, you need prayer. You need somebody to pray with you. You need to take a step of faith and make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to seek Him. And I just encourage you, if you've never had a close relationship with the Lord, or maybe you just have drifted away from God, or you realize you've been pursuing other things, you come and make it right with God this morning. And you just begin fresh and anew to seek the Lord with all your heart. As always, our prayer partners are here to pray with you about any needs that you may have this morning. And I want you to know, if you need a healing, you seek the healer. You need a financial blessing, you seek the provider. Amen. You see, whatever it is, He's the answer. Just turn to Him and look to Him. So I'm going to dismiss the congregation, but if you need prayer, you just go ahead and come as we dismiss, all right? Lord, bless you as you go. You go out into this world, but you remember what really satisfies. It is the Lord Jesus Himself. Amen. Lord, bless you.